Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Caitlin Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P, Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscles, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in all of the world. And if you, yes you, are looking for a drug-free foundation and a solid vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. Sorry for the delay. It seems like no matter what, there's something that comes up. It happens, it happens, it happens. When you do anything live, there's going to be something that either goes well or goes wrong. This is one of those times where, once again, we've had some technical issues, but thankfully we were on. Des will not be joining us tonight, but we do have our guest on. I just got to get him connected and get this show going. Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank God. Thank God. How are you doing, brother?
I am doing great. Great. How about you?
Now that the show is going, I'm doing fine. Go ahead and give an introduction, and we'll get this show started.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Jonathan Goins here, 39 years old. I am a PNBA men's physique pro. Currently reside in Houston, Texas, and yeah, just happy and blessed to be here.
We didn't catch that last part. Go ahead and say it again.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm just saying, just happy and blessed to be here. You know, 2020 has been a crazy year, so you know, every day that we're still here and able to, you know, do better the next day, be better in progress, it's definitely a blessing.
That's very true, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I can segue to our buddy and good natural athlete, Rob Luca, who's no longer here, and he's fought a long battle with cancer, and you know, finally it has taken him from us. And you know, for the people that got to know him, I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet him, but just a little FYI to all our listeners, Rob DeLuca is one of the first people that was an athlete in the natural bodybuilding community to sign on to initially Midwest Muscle and also then into P4P Real Talk. He was always inquisitive about growing the sport in new ways, and he thought this was a nice outlet for people to do and just gain information about the athletes and learn more about the natural side of bodybuilding. And he always had that question. He always had the understanding that, you know, this industry could grow in a successful and positive way, but it was going to have to be done so by people who were just as passionate about our sport as the enhanced community is about theirs. So did you know him in any way?
I didn't know him, but I saw the post on Facebook, and I saw, you know, all the INBA, PNBA family rallying around, you know, his loss. And, you know, we're a family, so when one goes like that, you know, whether we know him or not, you know, everybody's sort of, you know, feels it and hurts for him. So, you know, just you know, pray for him and his family, yeah.
Yes. You know, unfortunately, death has been claiming a lot of lives this year, and even in our own gym, one of our members lost her mother. She had an aneurysm the other day, and she passed away yesterday. Well, I think it was this morning. I haven't been.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, we're fearing, we're living in fear, and I made a post about that earlier, about living in fear. And it's not really living at all, because basically you're here existing, but you're talking about people that have been enjoying every day of their life until their life ended. And I think we can only honor them by living our lives in the same way. You're going to be telling us about how you've been living your life and how you've been
right,
taking it to another level. But I think by sharing this, we can kind of walk people back to reality and sanity. Because, like you said, 2020 has been a very interesting year. I mean, a lot of people are upset about it, but I said, honestly, I've learned more this year about people I know than I did about them in the last 5 to 7 years. So, you know, I'm thankful. I'm sorry the situation has come up where it hasn't been to this, but I'm very grateful for the knowledge that I've gained from it, because never, as long as you're living, you can see things as setbacks, but you shouldn't see them as losses, because there's going to be some knowledge gained in some way, shape, or form. I'm sure you
right.
can speak about that. You are going to speak about that, and you're competing and stepping on stage and not always winning, and then getting that win, and then basically all the preparation and knowledge that was gained until you could get that pro win. Because a pro win is something special, because, you know, you win as an amateur, but then there's that win as a pro, and that's another step up. So go ahead and let us know about, you know, what you've been doing before COVID, during COVID, now that you've been able to win in your natural bodybuilding lifestyle as well. So just catch us up to date with you, and let's get this show going.
Sure, yeah. So I was on the show last year right before Natural Olympia, and or it may have been a little bit after, but anyway, Natural Olympia last year, I did well. I won Junior Masters, and then I played second in amateur. And so then I did the pro men's physique the next day and placed 8th out of 24, which was, you know, pretty good. So I then proceeded to make these big plans to say, all right, now for 2020, I'm going to do really well in pro and, you know, try to do a couple of shows and really try to make my, you know, mark on the PNBA. But one of the things that I really enjoy doing is experimenting with my body and trying to sort of do sort of a myth buster, so to speak. So one of the main things people do is after they finish their last show of the year is they go out and they eat that one thing or that five things been craving and haven't been able to eat all during prep. So for me, I wanted to experiment to see if I could actually keep in those foods that I really loved all during prep. And for me, that is like, that's chocolate chip pancakes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, these are, you know, they're not just regular pancakes. Some people say, hey, I eat pancakes. Yeah, but these are chocolate pancakes with chocolate chips and chocolate sauce. So,
oh, my goodness.
I was eating, yeah, I know, it was delicious, but I was eating that twice a week. The entire time I was leading up into my show in July, and I was still losing weight. I wasn't looking in the mirror so much to see how I was looking. I was mostly just using the scale, and I was still losing weight. So I was like, hey, I did it. So I got to the show, and I'm really kind of looking at myself and kind of looking at everybody else. I'm like, I don't look as sharp as I should be. And then my placement really proved that. So I ended up placing last in pro men's physique, and that hurt my heart a little bit, because as a competitor and as, you know, somebody who really wants to do well every time you step on stage, placing last, just I didn't feel like that was my best. And so I linked up with Karen and Andy Wellstead. They're out of Australia, and they compete in the PNBA too. And Karen's actually, you know, done some judging even at the Natural Olympia. And so we dialed in, you know, the diet and the training and the posing for a good, you know, 2 months after that, and of course removed the pancake. And then the next show, the next show was in Michigan. So then I was coming in looking definitely much sharper, much tighter. I mean, my waistline, I feel like it dropped 2 inches, and it really reflected. So I looked great on stage and ended up taking the pro win, and I was ecstatic. I, you know, my mouth almost hit the floor when they, you know, called my name as the winner. So that was really what I wanted to feel, and that was a great feeling. And so now I have one more show coming up this year, which is the Natural Olympia in 4 weeks. And we're going to, you know, try to make it another one. So that's what I'm aiming for.
And isn't it crazy how the year started and then it seemed like we all got derailed, but you know, we can still be ourselves during that whole process. Because I noticed the people that were happy, or that are happy, are the ones that found some kind of balance in all this insanity. Like I said, you know, with the way things are going, it was surprise hit after surprise hit, and not in a good way.
Yeah.
It was kind of like if you were in a boxing match, you either got headbutted or you know, a kidney shot, or basically a low blow below the belt, and basically the referee's missing every single punch that is a cheap shot. So you've taken your blows, you've been getting hit pretty good with, like you said, placing last plays. No one is happy with that. I can tell you that right now. So when this is all happening and you're having to do the reevaluations on the reevaluation, because like I said, this year didn't stop. The year's still going. You're still finding out, you know, that life is still hitting you pretty good. What were some of the adjustments that you did for your sanity?
You know, one of the things that I try to do, you know, when COVID hit and we basically started working from home, you know, gyms closed down and everything, but I still had the commitment to do the shows and everything. One of the things I tried to do was to keep as much normalcy as I could. So I knew I couldn't go to the gym, but I knew, you know, around 3 to 3:30, I would always take like a – not a pre-workout, but just a intra workout or kind of some type of carbs or something to get me energy to work out. So even though I'm working from home and I'm going to, you know, stop working in an hour, I would still take that drink or eat some food or something like that. And then once it got time to work out, I would log off from the computer, get away from, you know, that my workstation. And I would actually put my AirPods in my ears and listen to music so that it's a little bit, you know, closer to me, I can hear it. And then that actually got me more motivated and pumped up. And so I would just do my at-home workouts every day, same time every day, and you know, try to really go through the motions of, you know, getting a pretty good workout. And it was tough. After the first couple of days, I was sore. So I was like, okay, this is working. And also what I was wanting to do was, you know, get a little bit closer to God, because I felt like at this time, you know, when things are so much out of your control, you know, the serenity prayer, Lord, give me the ability to allow you to control the things that you can control. I can control the things I control, and let me know the difference between what you can and can't. Something like that. I may have gotten the words a little bit mixed up, but basically, you know, I would, you know, the churches were closed down too. So I was watching my, churches or, you know, sermons at home on Sunday mornings. So I would keep those same things that I was doing and just kind of recycle it, but just do them at home. So for me, I found that to be pretty comforting and tried just not to stress, because there's so much that I can't control, but the things that I can control, I just do those to the best of my ability and just take it a day at a time.
And pretty much that's all anyone can ever do. And the thing that I have truly learned is that we're never in control, not even most of the time of our own selves. So if we're sitting there trying to control the situations, control the environment, we're finally start losing our minds, because we, you know, there's so much that comes up in a day. Mm-hmm. You know, forget the whole year, just in a day, what has to happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, like with the shows, and that's, I mean, I'm simplifying this to its base. Trust me, I'm not overlooking anything about what's happening in people's lives, but at its base, you have so many things that you have to look into, like you said, with posing, with everything else that's going on. And then you realize, man, you know, there's a lot that's going on in my day. And if I don't make some adjustments soon, I'm going to lose control of it, much less, you know, everything that's happening around me. So as you're going through all of this, and as you're basically dealing with all these calamities and pitfalls like we're all dealing with, and you still get on stage in the shape you've done. And, I, you know, shout out to all the athletes that have maintained their prep, because the biggest thing was not knowing if the show was even going to happen to begin with. and you still found a way to keep, you know, to keep going. So where was the balance? How did you keep your sanity? And I'm glad you spoke about, you know, getting in touch with God, because he's always ready for us to do that. Mm-hmm. And when you make that a priority, usually things go in your favor. I'll just say it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the main things is, you know, having a goal sort of helps you focus your mind on something that you can kind of fixate on, instead of watching the news 6 hours a day and then hearing about death tolls, just scrolling all day. Like, for me, I know that's not conducive for my spirit. Like, I can't watch the news 24/7 and hear people talk about death and not be affected. So for me, I'm not going to watch that, because that's not positive for me. I don't have to live in a shell or a bubble. I know what's going on, but if it doesn't improve my spirit, and that's coming from, you know, the news or people or anything, then it's not going to be a part of my life, period. So try to keep positive energy around me, talking a lot to my parents, you know, that have a lot of wisdom and a lot of good energy, and, you know, just family and friends, talking to them. I'm not necessarily a person that needs to be around a lot of people 24/7 to have energy. Mm-hmm. So for me, talking to people at times is good enough for me. So that's been really what's been, you know, very helpful for me. And then having the goals of the show to say, hey, if it happens, I'm going to be ready and I'm going to show, like, this is what my best is. And every time I step on stage, I want to show something a little bit better. When I stepped on stage at the first show, one of the judges told me, hey, I saw you at the Olympia last year. You actually looked better then than you did at this, you know, July show. So that was an eye-opening. Okay, that's going backwards. So I definitely wanted to bring a better showing to the Michigan show. It hurt my heart to let him go, but I said, you know what? We got a bigger goal in mind, so that can wait. And what we brought to the stage in Michigan was an insane package. Like, I posted a picture on Facebook and Instagram of a comparison of my Michigan on stage versus 2 years ago in 2018 on stage, and then in 2016, and it looked like night and day between the muscle, definition, symmetry, size, shape, everything was just much better. And so for me, that's exciting, and I can't wait to see what, you know, 2022 looks like compared to what I look like now. So we're just going to keep working and keep building.
Amen to that. Now, when you have, you know, the comparisons, and you see at the judge, because, you know, one of the things that I've seen, and it hurts my heart, is like, well, everybody wants to compete, but nobody wants to lose. And the understanding should be that we're not always going to win. That was one of the things I had to understand. But, like, you know, I see it to dads all the time. Growing up in sports, losing was part of the game. And you don't take it so hard as the person who puts everything they have into something for the first time and then it not come out in their favor. But, you know, we've had some knockdown, drag-out practices in sports, and they felt like we were the next team, better watch out. And then we hit them, and they hit back, and we lose. And it was like, well, dang, we gave our best. But just that understanding was enough to get us to the next week, the next practice, and the next game. I don't see why we seem to fall apart in natural bodybuilding after a loss when that's all it is. I mean, I go home, I shower my tan off, and I go to bed. I don't sit there and say, you know, is this the end of the world? The judge sucks, the promoter sucks, I hate everybody, my dog doesn't like me. Yeah, there you go. And I'm thinking, where does it go wrong, and how do you deal with that loss? Like you said, where you can look and say, man, I need to go back to the drawing board, or I need to get something straightened out, because obviously what I'm doing isn't working. Because that's, for me, as somebody who's truly competing, if somebody loses and everybody in life sucks, then I'm saying, well, maybe it's not everyone else, you know. And so just break us down how you were able to handle that criticism and critique and then build from it to where you could get that win on stage.
Right. I think that's a great point. I feel like losses are an opportunity just to get better because, I mean, nobody is perfect, even though we, you know, want to be, and on stage you want to win, but it's like how much progress or how much can you change if you win and you know that you have, you know, better placement, or you can be better. If you're winning everything but you could be better, chances are you're probably not going to make the improvements that you need to.
Exactly.
When you go against stiffer competition, because you feel like, oh, I'm already here, like you can't touch me. But if you're losing and you can take that criticism and actually listen, like for me, I love constructive feedback because I take what people tell me and then try to implement it. I talked to almost every judge to get feedback on what I needed to work on to get better. And that's exactly what I worked on. It doesn't feel, you know, great to lose, but it should feel like an opportunity to be better. And every day, if you're, you know, just in general in life, just being better, getting better at something, then you're progressing. And that's, you know, that's what life's about. Like, you're not always going to be best at everything or perfect with anything. It's like you just want to get better and progress and show that, you know, hey, today I did a little bit better, and tomorrow I can do even better than that.
Well, you're not falling apart, that's for sure. And like I said, if someone could, as a judge, sitting in a judge's seat, if you ask me for honest critique and I give it, I shouldn't become the devil. And I know there's been plenty of times where I've competed where I thought I did better than I did, and then I saw the pictures, and I thank God that I never opened my mouth because I said, wow, you know, I didn't look as good as I thought I did. And I don't know if it was the low carbs or what, but I learned to keep my mouth shut. Because I said, it's a great thing that I didn't open it and stick my foot square in it. So when you get the constructive criticism and you go back to the drawing board and you realize, you know, they were right, that's a tough understanding in itself because up until that point, you thought you were doing right. So now how do you build upon that as a pro? Because, you know, on a pro level, we have a lot of amateur listeners on this show, and they're going to have to transcend the amateur status sooner or later. And stepping on a pro stage is a big, big step because the things are phenomenal from start to finish. How do you absorb all of that? How do you take all of that in? And then how do you transition it to where you become that transformation individual in your mind as well as your body? Because I know it has to happen in your head first.
Right. Absolutely. I think the thing that people need to remember, especially amateurs coming to pros, and to think about it kind of like an analogy of, let's say, you're comparing bank accounts. All right. So everybody's on stage and everybody is comparing bank accounts. And let's say that this guy over here has been investing in the stock market for 20 years. He's been investing in real estate for 10 years. His bank account is huge. Now, you over here, you just started learning about the stock market. You just started getting into real estate. You have like one rental property. You have maybe two stocks that you've owned for 6 months, but you're doing really well. You picked up on those stocks, and so you've made, let's say, 20% return in a month, and that's great. But this other guy over here has been doing it so long, but you're both comparing. It doesn't matter your progress, you're comparing one-to-one. Who's got the biggest bank account? It's going to be that guy over there. So it's like, don't get upset because you're not as far along as that guy. He's been doing it a much longer. But if you can look at your progress and just keep focusing on you and getting better, you know, eventually you'll get there, and then you'll just see that, hey, you know, I'm doing, you know, basically doing this because you love it, and then you're also reaping the rewards of competing and meeting people and you know, just having a good time on stage, and hopefully, you know, that translates into, you know, better placings as you continue to progress, you know, through multiple seasons, and you still have to, you know, kind of just enjoy the train. A lot of people I see, you know, they enjoy the stage, but they and enjoy the Instagram likes, but may not necessarily love the training or the diet. It's like you've got to enjoy the process all along the way too, so that you can show the best package.
Yes, and you don't want to invest in chocolate chip.
I will vouch for that. Stay away from the chocolate chip pancakes while you're while you're trying to prep and be on stage. Yes.
Yes. Now, I was at the match, the Michigan show, and you had a tough group to get on stage with. It wasn't an easy win. One of the things that I've been very outspoken about this year was that the people are upset or frustrated with the pro wins and the people winning the pro cards because they feel the shows aren't big enough. And I'm saying something has to draw these people into the venues and a reason to compete when there's, like you said, there's so much depressing news. There's so much depression statements and articles and everything. I don't see anything wrong with small numbers. I'm happy there's even a show because for some areas and venues, they need that. They need that sense of hope. They need that sense of people with the positive energy because I've learned, you know, healthy people aren't just positive for themselves. They're positive for everyone else as well. And they can connect on a level that's surpasses the gym, society, community. They engage a lot more and many more people than a lot of people would even care to fathom or admit. When you get that win, when that win happened, how many people were affected in your life?
How many people were affected? Well, I'd say, I guess, I don't know. Like, that's actually a good question. I think, like, I mean, I posted, of course, the winning picture, like, on Facebook and everything, and I think that was, like, the most liked picture I've gotten this year.
Yeah, that was the tip of the iceberg. Because what I've learned in the gym, there's maybe 5 or 6 people that will engage with me in a conversation at the gym. But there's 50 people watching.
Right.
And they never interact because they don't want to get in the way. And I'm cool with that because I'm at the gym to exercise and get out, and, you know, and basically get back to training or teaching my clients. So that's not necessarily a bad thing for me. But I know they're affected. And one of the things I've always done after a show or a competition is bring the trophies back or the medallions or the swords. I mean, they're starting to spoil us rotten with, you know, what they do with this. But I'm really thankful for that time they give me at the gym because, you know, I'm not just using equipment that's mine. I'm using it that, you know, using equipment that everyone has an opportunity to use. But they still allow me the time to get in the work that I need to be ready for competition. So I'm respectful of that, and it's a way to honor that. But when you can engage in those conversations, after the win, they definitely hear you a lot better because basically you're
That's
just somebody who does this thing called bodybuilding, and then when you win and you bring back a trophy, now you've got their attention. So when I say affected, that's what I'm talking about because there's plenty of people I know that aren't bodybuilders on your fan line when they're commenting, but they're definitely watching what you're doing. And you've changed their life. I mean, whether they want to admit it or not, and I've got plenty of people that hate to see me do well. And it's not that they hate me. It's just not them doing well, so they hate to see me doing well. And I'm okay with that because it still motivates them to do better. So even with that understanding, I'll ask again, how many people have you affected?
I would say it's multiple hundreds, because I've gotten messages from people that will comment and then also send me private messages to say, hey, I'm so proud of you. This is motivating to me just to get in shape like that. They have they don't want to compete. They, you know, definitely don't want to go on stage half naked or anything, but they just want to, you know, get a little bit more healthy, clean the diet up, lose a little body fat, especially being a little more healthy during these times, which is calling for, you know, being a little bit more healthy probably can help, you know, with the whole Corona thing. But yeah, I think people that I didn't even know that were kind of even watching me that sent me messages, they said, hey, you are so motivating to me. And I was like, really? You've never said anything to me for like 2 years. So I didn't even know you knew I was alive, but okay, thanks. You know? So yeah, that feels good. And, you know, to do those things. And honestly, that's partly of why I'm doing this. I'm showing that, hey, at, you know, 39 years of age, you don't have to take steroids. You don't have to take any of these extra stuff. You can just work hard, get in shape, and present the best physique that you have, and it can still get better. People think, oh, you're getting older. That just means you've hit your ceiling.
Yeah, get your rocket chair
from there. It's like, no. Yeah, age is just a number. Yeah, at some point you may not look like you're 20, but I was like, but I'm still getting better, and you can too if you just work hard. Don't let the excuses and other people tell you, you know, what you're going to do. They've never studied me, so I'm telling them I'm still getting better.
Yes. Well, you know, muscle maturity, I've learned, it's a blessing. And I remember Phil Ricardo Jr. saying way back in 2010, 2011 to me, natural bodybuilding at the fountain of youth. So, you know, with that kind of motivation, shoot, I couldn't help but want to work hard, because I've seen him and I got a chance to work out with him, and that dude's phenomenal. So if he's done that, as long as he's been competing and his body was still looking like that, because I had been around the enhanced individuals and I had seen their bodies breaking down, and they were to a point where, you know, you can't keep doing it like this or like that, because their joints and their internal organs were basically so abused that they couldn't keep the level of work that they had been doing with the amount of gear they've been using. So, you know, I get it. And it started to make sense that, you know, if I just keep taking care of my body, it's going to keep taking care of me, not the other way around, where you're abusing your body. And then it starts to break down from the abuse. I mean, drugs are drugs, you know, and a lot of people don't like to see it that way. But there's a price you have to pay for using. And the price that I was seeing was people's lives. You know, I've personally known 33 people that are no longer on this earth simply because they decided to choose the enhanced lifestyle. And it cost them their life in the process. And, you know, there's a lot of people that said, well, that they enjoyed their life. And I'm thinking, well, how can you enjoy your life suffering? I haven't seen it yet. And I have yet to see someone, you know, make that choice and then not regret it at some point in their life, you know, years later or sometimes months later. It depends on, you know, on how your metabolism and physique or your genetics deal with the drugs that you're taking. So, you know, it's a healthy option. It's a good option. And with someone like you basically coming back with wins on the pro side, and there's a cash prize, and, you know, these things get your ear, they get your attention. And like you said, not everybody wants to compete. Heck, 2/3 of our listeners don't ever plan on stepping on stage, but they really like the lifestyle that we live, and they live through us. So there's so many outlets and avenues for good health, and it's nice to be reminded that, you know, you do have that option. And I think, you know, even my family now understands just how important it is because of something like COVID. You know, before this, it was just, well, he's just that guy that works out in his speedo. Now it's like, oh, you know, there's a conversation that happens now. And I said, well, that's what I wanted, you know, all those years ago. But if it took that to get them to listen now, thank God they're still here to hear it. And hopefully, you know, better things come from this. So, you know, with everything that we're doing, it's not wasted, I guess the best way to say it.
I 100% agree. And one of the main things, it's funny how, you know, things come full circle. When I was a little kid and I would, my parents would take my brothers and I to, you know, family reunions, I would see my uncles and some of them that work, like to work out. They have, you know, these big arms and these big muscles. And I used to always try to feel their arms and would be so just excited to see how big and strong they were. And now my brother's kids, they look at me like that. And so they see how big and strong I am. So when I go, you know, and spend Thanksgiving with them, they are all, you know, wow and marvel. Like I'm the biggest person like they've ever seen. And so they're looking at me as an example. Yeah. So and so as to set a positive example for them, I'm showing them also, you know, hey, this is a healthy way, you know, to be, you know, in shape, in healthy, lift weights, eat right, and you don't have to compromise, you know, your integrity or even your immune system to, you know, get a better physique and be a little bit more healthy.
And tell me that doesn't make a difference when you're at the family gathering where they can get truthful information from a trusting individual. I think that's huge in itself, and when it comes from family, they know you. Well, the one thing that none of my family can deny is who I am, because they knew me back in the day. You have characteristics that were just in tune to you from day one, and they know it. And then to see me speaking like the person they didn't want to trust or didn't want to believe, exactly the same way, to learn that, yeah, that was true. That's what these are the things you have to do, and you don't need drugs. You don't need to put your life at risk. You don't need to put your health at risk. You don't need to, you know, stress out your family from drug abuse. So, you know, these are things that we don't contemplate on a daily basis, especially when we're listening, but it's a very true reality of what's going on in someone else's life, because we affect others, whether we want to admit that we're role models or mentors or whatever. We've affected someone's life positive ways, and we might not ever get to talk to them or hang out with them, but that doesn't change the relevance of what we've done to their life.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's a big responsibility, and I feel like if you don't take that seriously, that's being selfish. Yeah. And so, you know, especially, you know, the little people that they've got, they're young and impressionable, and they'll mimic something. So you want to show them a positive influence so they can mimic that.
So now there's one thing I do have to ask, you know, going from worst to first in the same year. Did you really think it would happen that fast?
Honestly, I did, because I didn't believe that I brought my best to the first show, and I felt like I let myself down, but I also let down people who wanted to see me, you know, on stage. Like, as you know, compete a lot, there's people that, you know, become sort of fans and want to see, hey, you know, just like I'm fans of a lot of the INBA, PNBA people who compete. Like, when I see this person is signed up for a show, I'm excited to see, oh, wow, how do they look? So if you come to the show not looking your best, it's like, what happened? So for me, I felt like I did a disservice to everybody involved. And so that was a very good learning experience to say, okay, if I'm going to compete, I'm going to come on 100% dialed in, and I don't want the judges to say, well, I want them to say, whoa. And so that's the goal every time that I'm stepping on stage. And so to go that Michigan show, I was planning to do, I had already planned to do that one even before the first show. So I was ready to turn it around and dial it in. And my body really responded quickly once I got those chocolate pancakes out of there. So, It was definitely, you know, a good feeling. And I think the Natural Olympia is just going to be an even better feeling. It's electric. That show is electric. Like when I competed in that last year, it has a different vibe to it. Like you can feel the energy when you're on stage because everybody is bringing their best and they're flexing hard and they're wanting to show that, hey, this is what I've been working for all year. And so it's going to be a battle up there. There's going to be some big names that are doing the show. There's some guys that did the show last year and placed high won't be in it this year. So, you know, a lot of the, you know, top, I say five, it's really up for grabs. So a lot of and a lot of people want those titles, and I'm going to be one of them. So everybody's going to be ready. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Motorcycle, a big paycheck. Heck yeah, you'd be crazy not to win. So I don't knock anybody for going there to win. But, you know, my thing is, if you don't win, it shouldn't be the end of the world. And the competitor that wins shouldn't have known this person or known that person. That's the only reason they got it. I'm just tired of the belly aching when we don't win. If we win,
right,
I want us to celebrate just like we did if we lost and cheer someone else on. It shouldn't be so dramatic, I guess the best way to say it, because we're athletes. We prepare our bodies. We get our bodies as good as we can. And like you said, if someone's invested better and longer, then, you know, kudos to them. That's what I get to look for later on in my life, it should be. We have to get away from this this negative ideology or negative narrative where something was amiss and I got robbed and I got cheated. Not saying that these things haven't happened, but if every time you're the one that loses, this is what we get to expect, then I'd be asking, well, then if I'm getting robbed every time I lose, then why am I going? Why am I still competing? If every time I step on stage, I know this is going to happen. Because I said, you know, there's a definition for insanity, and that sounds like a good prescription for it.
Great. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I think the main thing that people kind of need to remember is, like, which part of yourself, I guess, are you feeding? Because there's probably in everybody, there's sort of like a little bit envious and a little bit jealous or whatever side. In some people, it's huge, and that's their entire personality. For some people, it's very small, like a mosquito, and it doesn't really ever come out. And then there's that side that's very generous, that's very appreciative, that's very positive, and that's very supportive of other people. And it's like, which one are you going to feed in the time of, you know, crisis or in a time of, hey, you didn't get what you want. So which one are you going to feed? It's like, for me, if you see somebody, like when you're competing, you know how good it feels to win and how good it feels when other people are happy for you that you won. So it's like, I would want to give that energy to somebody because I know that it does feel great to win. And when they experience that win, I want them to know that, hey, congratulations. I know how hard you had to work for this because I was right there working hard too. So if anybody understands, it's us competitors. Like, we know what it takes. And so to get that, you know, to get that win, you just want people to be, you know, happy for you. And you know, however the outcome of the show goes, if I step on stage bringing the package that I want, which is a better package than Michigan, then I've already won in my mind.
Exactly. And I remember, you know, We have my kickboxing room at the gym, and we've got the competitors that have been on stage and competed are on the wall in that room. And this kid had seen me, you know, I didn't have my glasses on. I don't wear them when I'm on stage because of the tan, and I'm sure not going to cook my eyes with those lights. So I was, he asked me a question, and he said, you think you can beat that guy? And he's pointing at a picture of me. And I said, I have to beat that guy. Like you said, I don't want to look like that guy. If last year's guy looks like this year's guy, then I've done absolutely nothing. And I wouldn't be happy with that at all. So, you know, if we're not challenging or beating our old self, then we're not becoming our new selves. And I don't want to be that individual ever. I always want to have some kind of a marked improvement at some point. So now as a pro and winning on a pro stage, just let us know, you know, what you feel, what you can bring, and what you learn, you know, in all of this process.
I think I've definitely learned a lot. The thing that is most helpful is practice your posing. I mean, everyone always says that, but the more comfortable you are on stage, the poses just start, they just flow. You don't have to think about it. And if you don't have to think about it, then you're much more comfortable. Sitting in the audience, you can really tell the people who practice their posing, for one, just because they look more comfortable and they're able to relax, they can smile, and, you know, they don't look like they're trying so hard. And then for two, you know, when especially at the Michigan show where we were, you know, we were being worked, so we were on stage flexing a lot, and all the classes, especially the pro classes, and some people were fading after the first round. So you can tell, well, it's like, well, you probably didn't spend enough time practicing your posing, and if you're going to diet and cardio and hit the weights in 5, 6, 7 days a week or whatever, you want to throw your posing in there because you don't want to drop a couple of placements just because you didn't practice your posing enough. So, so at the pro level, everybody's going to be on point with the physique.
Yes.
So definitely want to try to stand out with, you know, being comfortable and set in your poses and not. And one of the things that I used to do was called calcs, which is basically body weight exercises where you would do a lot of isometric holds and things that are, you know, very hard, very difficult to hold for long periods of time. And the people who are the best at it were the people that could hold some of these moves and move when they were ready to move, not move because their muscles could no longer hold it. So if you translate that into your posing, then you practice and you hold those poses longer than you think the judge would actually say, okay, you know, rotate or hit a front double box, okay, side chest. Don't hit the poses for as long as you think they will. Hold them longer in your practices. So then when you actually get on stage, it's second nature, and you're not fading during the comparisons.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought up the Michigan show, because that was really a telltale sign of the people who had done the prep correctly, but hadn't done their time with posing, and they suffered. I mean, it was brutal because you know, you guys had some really good close competition. And that was basically what we were waiting on, to see who was going to fade away and who had done their due diligence with the posing and the practice. And it showed. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'd forgotten about that. I should have brought that up on the show when we were covering the winners and some of the reasons some people didn't place well. That was a very valid point, and thank you for bringing that up, because it was more than true, especially at that show. With those kind of athletes that were on stage, it was more than noticed to watch people fading away a lot sooner, you know, and especially with being pros. Honestly, you know, it might sound biased, but we expect better. As pros, you're supposed to be a professional out there and doing better than the amateurs. So it was a glaring thing to see, but it was definitely something that cost some athletes some places. I know one, I can't think of the name, and I can't remember the class, but it was a 2-place drop from basically, for, you know, getting so fatigued mentally and physically that, you know, started doing the wrong poses. Nothing, you know, they planned to do, but something that ended up happening, and that's something you just cannot have as a pro when you're trying to win and trying to place at the same time. It's something that has to be addressed, and I hope with the feedback that was given that they actually take note of that and take it to heart, instead of taking it to the heart where it's like a dagger, taking it in the heart where it feeds your soul and you can do better. So now we're coming to the end of the show. It's definitely a time for you to give your shout out, but also, you know, congratulations on your pro win in 2020. I think anyone that wins in this year get more than a kudo. You get more than good accolades and more than well wishes. You've done something special because so much has been taken out of life. And not, I'm not saying out of people's physical lives, but mentally there's been a lot that's been taken because we're feeding so much. Like you said, whoever we're feeding is what's going to grow. And there's a lot of negativity that's encircling this nation right now. And somebody has to hold on to a positive nature, attitude, and balance to where we can get out of this and come out of this storm like human beings, because I think our sanity has been diminished. I'll say it like that. Mm-hmm. And so give your shout out, and I definitely got to say congratulations on the win during this year. It's never easy to prep. It's never easy to compete. But during a year like this, it's even more so. So congratulations on that, and I'll let you have the floor.
Thank you very much. So my shout-outs, you know, to my family, my parents have been super supportive during this whole time. My brothers, extended family, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews. Also my best friend RJ, who puts up with me telling him, hey, you know, guess what, I'm changing this way, you know, dropping some more carbs. So all my friends that are definitely supportive, definitely Karen and Andy Wellstead, Team Activate, that have been really beneficial with getting me really to the point to where I'm shocked when I look in the mirror every day. So I definitely appreciate that, and for, you know, everyone else, just throwing in there, you know, I have a YouTube channel. It's called Mr. Go In. So, because that's, you know, last time going. So, you know, I have a lot of content on there. I'm actually going to start putting some more, you know, Road to Olympia prep and things like that, and off season stuff on there to get that more active. So it's going to be fun. You know, 2020 is almost over. The election's almost here. The one thing I just want to kind of leave people with is, don't worry too much about what other people are doing and saying. People are getting so bent out of shape on what other people's, you know, beliefs are, who you're voting for, and they're just being so combative. Let people be and believe what they want, because a lot of the times you're not going to be able to change their mind. But if you can focus on kind of, you know, what you're doing and staying positive and have positive people around you, and then take that into 2021, you know, we don't know if that's going to be a better year or worse year, but, you know, you try to just try to be better. You know, we'll try to just, you know, have a good year, and every day keep pushing and keep being better and being better as a people.
There you go. Yeah, that's all you can do. And you know, there's some military guys along with myself that are going to be gathering to the round here locally and speaking out about, you know, the mindset that we're leaving our military brothers and sisters with, so much negativity basically encircling everything that's said and done lately. Like you said, it's not healthy. It's not helping, that's for sure. And we could do better. And I think all of us need to pitch in some kind of way to make sure this isn't a year after year after year thing, because that seems to be what is coming. It's just progressively getting worse and worse and worse. So if we do our part as a nation, maybe we can protect the suicides that the military are doing. There's an outreach if we tend to hold our hands out and help others. And I like what you're doing, you know, by basically giving outlets for people that you know, people that are around you, and just the people that that care about. So go ahead, and any final thoughts? We already got your contact information. I'd like for you to give it again, just in case someone might have missed it.
Yeah, so on Instagram, I'm actually at PNBA Pro underscore Mr. Go In, and then on YouTube it's Mr. Go Dash IN. And yeah, I'm pretty active there. If you have any questions or you just feeling a little depressed and want to talk, I'm a great listener. So yeah, just send me a message. And everybody, just you know, have a good day. Keep staying positive. A lot of the issues that we're facing and having today, you know, they may not be there tomorrow. And if they are tomorrow, the only thing that you control is how you react to them. So keep trying to stay positive. We are in this together, and every day we're just, you know, we're going to get better. Everything's going to get, you know, positively go better.
There you go. Well, Jonathan, thanks so much. Thanks for sharing your journey, and thanks for sharing your story. And I know our listeners have enjoyed it. I'm sorry I couldn't get to the other parts of the people that have passed away. This is Jonathan Simon. I wanted to use this call. Jonathan, again, thanks so much. God bless you on your journey, and look to see you doing well at the Natural Living.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great. I'll definitely be seeing and touching base with you guys in the future. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Have a blessed day, brother.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
So there's, you missed a good one. I know you were busy, but hey, we had a great guest, and I thank you for setting that up. For everybody out there, you know, stay blessed, stay focused, stay balanced, and try to stay more positive. We don't need any more negativity, especially in your life. I want you to have a great day, and I don't want you being the cause of the negativity that is encircling your life or your day. So for everybody out there, this is Kalen Patterson, P4P Real Talk, Midwest Muscle, in your earlobe, we are out.